Aren't you thankful for that this morning? And He is a God that never gives up on you. I'm thankful for that. Quickly, I want you to take your Bibles this morning, and I want you to go to two different places. I don't normally preach out of two different places. I usually stick to one scripture. But this morning, I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to go to Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. And then, when you find that, just keep your place there. That'll be the first text we'll read. Then we're going to move over to John chapter number 20. And if you don't mind, stand to your feet, stretch your legs out this morning. You may have been sitting for a little while. If you can, if you can't stand, it's fine. You just remain seated. But I'd like to ask you to stand in reverence of God's Word. Acts chapter number 1. And to alleviate time, I'm going to go ahead and read. You just pick up there in Acts chapter number 1. The Bible says, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which He was taken up. After that, He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen." Verse number 3, "To whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Verse 3 says this, "To whom also He showed Himself alive by many infallible proofs." You can have a seat. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I ask that You'd help us this morning. I thank You for what You've done already. God, I thank You for how You've stirred hearts. Lord, I don't take it lightly for the invitation to be at this place. And I thank You for it, for the opportunity, God, but also for the obligation that I have this morning not to preach mindsets and not to preach steps to a better life, but to preach the Word of God. Lord, I am obligated because I'll stand before You and I will give an account for what is said in here this morning. So Lord, I ask that You would hide me behind this cross. Lord, You'd empower us to preach this morning. Give us exactly what we need to say. And Lord, You'll bind every power of hell. May somebody that walked in here burdened with life and they've had the worst week of their life last week, God, I ask that You would give them encouragement from Your Word. Maybe somebody is had a good week, but they're about to enter into a storm that they don't even see on the horizon. I ask that You would equip them right now for that task and that trial that they're about to walk into. Lord, let us seek You with our whole hearts. Lord, illuminate our mind and loose our tongue and help us to preach. Be with the pastor as he's on vacation. Lord, bless him. Thank You for how faithful he's been, the trials they've walked through, the valleys they've had to go through. God, I ask that You would encourage them, but also empower them where they are this morning and use them to shake this county and this city and this church for Your cause. God, the revivals that are taking place this week, bless Brother CT. Empower him to preach this week. God, save souls that are nearest hell. It delights me. It emphatically excites me that You are still sending revival and You've not given up on our country yet. Thank You, Jesus, for the power that we see in the person of Jesus Christ. Now help me preach that name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. I ask it and humbly pray, amen and amen. I'm not going to belabor you with details about the scripture, so I want to get right into it. The Bible said that Jesus showed Himself alive after His passion. After He died on an old rugged cross, He was suspended between heaven and earth. Thousands of people walked by and viewed the cross. They saw the cross of Calvary. Many people today relate to the cross. They understand what the cross was. There are people, did you know, that have necklaces that have crosses on them. There are are people today that have t-shirts where they wear a cross. There are even people who put tattoos on their arms that have crosses on it. And I believe that many people know what the cross of Calvary is, but they do not know the power and the person of the cross of Calvary. I believe lost people today walk around with crosses around their necks. I believe lost people today put crosses on their cars. I understand that everybody understands what the cross was, and that symbol is a symbol that the government itself is trying to do away with, because they know that there's something about that cross that sets it apart from any other symbol of religious antiquity. I'm thankful for the cross of Calvary, but if Jesus only died on the cross and that was it and we didn't see him anymore, there would be no power in the cross of Calvary. I'm here to tell you that at the tomb on the third day, the cross is the lampstand of salvation, but it's plugged into the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If the cross is the lampstand, the power outlet is the tomb. I'm thankful that Jesus got up on the third day and he is alive today. Can I get an amen? See, the fact that Jesus is alive and he showed himself alive proves to me that he's better than any other God that ever existed. See, all the other gods, they had religion, they had principle, they did marvelous works, and they, like Jesus, was a figure of religion. But the thing that sets Jesus apart from any other God in this world, any other religious leader, any other picture of humanity, the thing that sets him apart from any other is the fact that he is alive today, that he showed himself alive today. I'm thankful that not only did I visit the cross of Calvary and see that because he died, my sins are washed away, that because he died, I don't have to pay the penalty of death. I'm about to have a fit up in here. I'm thankful that at the cross of Calvary, I see that God is taking care of the vicious crimes and acts against judgment of sin. But I am thankful that I didn't stop at the cross of Calvary, but because he died, my sins are gone. But this morning, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. I know that I know that I know Jesus is alive. I'm thankful for the power of the resurrected Lord. See, Paul said it like this. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. What is the gospel? It is the death, not all the miracles. They were a foreshadowing of what was to come, but because he died, it is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I'm going somewhere. I want you to stay with me this morning, and I'm going to try to get there as quick as I can. But because he is alive, he shows us the power of the gospel. Oh, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the death, burial, and resurrection of God, because it is the power of God. That word power is the word dunamis. It is the word we get dynamite from. This morning, if I had a stick of dynamite and I walked down your aisle and I held that stick of dynamite at your pew and I lit it this morning, you wouldn't sit there like a lot of Baptists are sitting there this morning in their churches and just fold their arms and watch their watch. And you wouldn't sit there and be real calm and reserved if I lit a stick of dynamite next to you. You wouldn't sit there and say, oh my, he's got a stick of dynamite. Look at that, George. He's got a stick of dynamite. You wouldn't sit there. No. If I came by your pew and lit a stick of dynamite this morning, it would change your location. It would. Your eyes would be about as big as where you are right now. And you would be a little excited. And you would even be willing to jump up and move from where you are. Because dynamite does, if it does anything, it changes where it lands. That's the same thing that the gospel of Jesus Christ will do. It's the power of God. It's the dunamis of God. It's the dynamite of God. It will blow the devil out of your life. If I threw that dynamite back there, people would jump up, holler, and scream. You ask me why I get so excited when I'm preaching. It's because I'm hooked up to the dunamis of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is power. Hey, I'm not sitting there just waiting for God to take me home, but I wake up every morning in the power of the resurrected Jesus Christ. The dynamite of God. See, many people saw the cross, but the Bible said, to whom he showed himself alive. I find out that multitudes walked by the cross, and the Bible says they wagged their head and mocked him as he died. But did you know there's only a handful of people that got to see him when he got back up? Did you know there's only, in fact, 1 Corinthians 15 says it was only above 500 that got to see him. Over 5,000 were fed on the hillside. There were many people that gathered and watched him do the miracles, but only 500 people got to see him get up from the grave. Have you noticed that Jesus was not healing blinded eyes after Calvary? There isn't one account of blinded eyes being healed after Calvary. There's not one talk about a lame man getting up and Jesus healing that man. There's a man over in Acts, but Jesus there that day wasn't there, but the power of his name was. But there was no accounts of miracles taking place after the cross of Calvary. In those 40 days that he lived, there was no accounts that Jesus broke bread and fed 5,000 people. There's no account that he healed a leprous man. There's no account that blinded eyes was healed. There's no account that dead people got up from the grave. Do you know why? Because after Jesus died and on the third day got up, the resurrection was enough to take care of all of it. God didn't have to prove who he was anymore. He had everything he needed in the resurrected Lord and the resurrected tomb. I'm thankful that he is alive this morning. The power of the resurrected Lord. He said, to whom he showed himself alive. All right, Brother Brent, there's only 500 people that got to see him. What does that have anything to do with me? I got to thinking about it, and I got to studying and reading, and I found out not only the people that he did show up for, but I noticed the people that he did not show up for. And I got to thinking in my mind, you know, if Jesus had a thought like I think, he missed some good opportunities to show that he was alive. He missed some good opportunities to walk up to somebody and prove that he is who he said he was. I'm going somewhere, stay with me. See, if I was Jesus and I had a got up on the third day after they put me to death, I think I would have went by old Pilate's house. I think I would have went to Pilate's house, knocked on the door, walked in the house, and I would have looked Pilate in his eyeballs, and I would have said this: you told me that you had power to lay down my life, and you've got power to give me life. And remember what I told you. I told you that you've got no power other than it's the power that's given to you by my Father. I told you, Pilate, that I've got all power. If Jesus had been me, I'd have walked up to old Pilate's house, kicked the doors in, and I'd have said, hey, Pilate, I'm back. I told you, I'm coming back, like I said. But Jesus didn't appear to Pilate. I'm amazed that Jesus didn't go by the priest's house. And he did not reveal who he was to the priest. Man, I don't find any account that he showed himself to the priest. Of all the people he could have proven himself to, not once did he show up at the priest's house. They weren't in that 500. These are the same people that mocked him, spat on him, slapped him. These are the same ones that conjured up rumors about him, called him all sorts of names, embarrassed him in front of all mankind. They mocked him. They laughed at him, the Son of God. Somebody wrote a song that said he could have called 10,000 angels. Honey, he didn't even need one angel. All he had to do was speak the word and could have wiped that whole crowd out. But not once did he show up at the priest's house. He didn't show up at Pilate's house. If I was Jesus, I might would have went to Herod, the principality, the king, king of the Jews. I might would have told him, you wanted to see a magic trick while I was here. How do you think raising up from the dead looks to your magical mind? But Jesus didn't show up to them. And I got to thinking, the people that he avoided gives us sight to who he did show up for. I'm thankful that Jesus is not just into wowing the crowd. He didn't show up to people for retribution. He showed up to those who needed resurrection. And I got to looking in John chapter 20, I'll be real quick, and I started finding the people that he did show up for. And I'm thankful that I saw myself in those people. I saw who I was in them. The fact that Jesus would show up at my house and would save me. See, if I didn't know the power of resurrection, my wife wouldn't have a husband this morning. If I didn't know the power of resurrection, my two children wouldn't know a daddy who preaches. If I didn't know the power of resurrection and Jesus hadn't shown up where I was, then I'd be lost and I'd be miserable this morning. I remember the day smoking pot. I remember the day drinking Jim Beam and Jack Daniels. And I remember those days about how miserable I felt. And the world paints it like it's cool. But young people, listen to me. I've been in those bars. I've been on those tailgates smoking dope. And I'm here to tell you, I'm having the most fun now that I've ever had. And it's all because when I was lost, when I was a mess, when I was out there, Jesus, the resurrected Savior, passed by my way. He didn't have to. I could have went to hell and it wouldn't have messed God up. He wouldn't have been missing anything. But the fact that he came and found me, I'm thankful that I met everything when I met Jesus. What a God we serve that will show up at your house. The only reason, sir, you're married this morning is because you know yourself. You know what's going on in the halls of your house. You know that if the devil had his way, he would have destroyed your family. But look at you sitting up in the house of God, clothing in your right mind. And it's all because the resurrected Jesus showed up at your house. Somebody ought to praise God that there's power in the resurrection of Jesus. He showed himself alive. Who did he show himself alive to? First of all, I see he showed himself alive to Mary. I believe it's somewhere around verse 10. The Bible says that the disciples turned away from the tomb when they found that Jesus wasn't there, and they went home. Now, isn't that amazing that the very hand-picked disciples, the very ones that saw all the miracles, the very ones that were the leaders of the church, the very ones that was put in authority, the very ones that was chosen by God, was the first ones that went home? The Bible said that the disciples went home and they turned away. But then the Bible tells you in the next verse, but Mary. See, Jesus shows up not to those who can only think about getting back to the house, not to those who want to always go home and they want to get out of church. I didn't come to get out. I came to get in. I want to see what God can do this morning. I didn't come here to check out my watch. I'm going to let you go in a minute. But honey, if all you get is just a lesson and all you get is just a tickling of the ear, then you don't get what you need. We need some people that'll plug in to the power of the cross of Calvary, the power of the resurrected Lord. Those disciples went back home, but Mary stayed behind. Do you know who Jesus shows himself to? To those people who are looking for him. Do you know why Mary got to see Jesus before anybody else did? It was because she refused to go home when everybody else did. She decided, let's go another week of revival. She decided, hey, I know we don't feel like it, but let's come back on Sunday night.
Hey, she decided, I know that it's been a hard week. I know I fought hell. I know I fought a cussing boss. But I have decided that I'm just going to open up my book one more time and I'm going to read what God says about my life. I like the people like Mary that every morning you wake up, you're not looking to earn another dollar. You're not looking to make yourself look good. You're not earning another stripe on your lapel, but you're looking for something that Jesus has for you. Listen, the Bible said that if your family's going to make it, you need to go find God. That if your life's going to make it, you need to go find God. Mary had an attitude that when everybody else went home, I'm staying behind because I know that this ain't it. I've seen him do what nobody else could do, and I believe that God's not done yet, and I want what God's got for me. Mary stayed behind because she was still looking for him. When everybody else said it was done, when everybody else had wrote it off, when everybody else said, give up, it's all finished, Mary said, no, I believe he's got one more in the bag. No, I believe he's not done with this. Mary, the Bible said that she's looking when nobody else is looking. The Bible said not only is she looking when nobody else is looking, but she's looking where nobody else was looking. The Bible said she looked in, she stooped down and looked into that tomb. She kept looking into that tomb. She kept looking into the place where she saw him last. You want to know where you can find God? Best thing for you to do is go back to that place you saw him the last. She saw him. She looked where nobody else was looking and when nobody else was looking. And I found out old Mary was looking. Why? Because she had received what nobody else had received. See, you, I ain't got enough time. I know y'all ready to go get fried chicken. Amen. I'm with you. I'm hungry. But why is Mary looking? She wasn't just a fisherman that Jesus met. He performed some miracles and wowed her, so she decided to follow him. No. Mary, when Jesus found her, she had lost all hope. She had no help. And when Jesus found her, everybody else had run her through the ringer. The Bible said that when Mary was found by Jesus, she had seven devils. Some of you are just dealing with one demon. And I ain't talking about your husband either. This woman was possessed with seven, ripping her inside and out. She had given all the money she had. Family didn't want nothing to do with her. Josephus talks about her. Says that she had lost all. When somebody is possessed by demons, they get to a certain place that the family completely shuts them out. That man of the tomb of Gadara. The only place he was in, the only reason he was in the graveyard is because he had nowhere else to go. I want to ask you a question. Do you feel like you're at a place where you have nowhere else to go? That's a good place to be. Because if you'll go looking for him, she's looking for him because she's not like fishermen. She met Jesus when she had nothing else. And he did for her what nobody else could do. And she thought to herself, if he can cast seven demons out of me, I just have a hard time believing that that's the end of it. Do you know why I serve him like I do, even when I don't see him moving like I need him to move? It's because I go back not too far and I realize that if he did that for me back there, I know there's nothing he can't do. She's looking for him. I ain't got enough time to give you a story here, but I'll move on. Who does he show himself to? I won't even preach these last two. I'll just give them to you. But he's showing himself to somebody this morning because you decided to go looking for him. But he also shows himself to those who are locked up.
Not only those who are looking, but those who are locked. The Bible says in the same chapter, the first day of the week, I'll take you there and let you underline it, and then you can read it for yourself. Verse 19 says, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, where the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Stop right there. The Bible said that being the same day, that's the day of resurrection at the evening time. The disciples were locked up in a room for fear of the Jews. I want to slow down on purpose right here, if that's all right. We are living in a society where children, teenagers, go to their rooms and shut doors, shut mama and daddy out, shut the world out, dealing with devils that not even mom and daddy know they're dealing with, things in their mind. Not very far from here, a young girl committed suicide because in her mind, she was nothing more than a monster. Why? Because the so-called Christian song said that's all she was. Young people come into their house and they go behind locked doors, trying to shut everything out. They put their headphones in their ears, trying to shut everything out. They let everything else think for them because they're trying to shut everything out. My little girl tried to shut the door on her mama the other day. Can I tell y'all something? Parents, if your kids try to shut doors on you, my little girl, 5-year-old, walked in the house and didn't like what mama told her to do, so she walked to her room and shut her door. I saw a side of Katie I've never seen in my life. She marched herself up them steps, kicked that door open. She said, young lady, you are 5 years old. You way too young for me to hurt you right here. She said, but you will never shut me out. She said, if I take this door off its hinges, you will live the rest of your life doorless. But that's their room. That's their business. Nuh-uh. When you birthed them into this world and they didn't have a say-so in it, you made it your business. Y'all might not like that. I don't care. We got young people that are sitting behind locked doors, thinking things and seeing things that they never should have to be privy to. But you know what? You know where they got it from? Mom and daddy. I ain't trying to get all up in your business, but I will get up in your business. Husbands and wives get mad at each other. You know what the first thing we do? Go to a room and slam the door. What is that? It's a defiance. You don't even know why you do it. You just slam a door because you don't even know what you're doing, but you're trying to lock everything out for fear of what's on the other side. I think about that room where those people are. There's a wife in here this morning. And people might not see it, but you go and sit behind locked doors. You might not be behind a locked door in your house, but you're behind a locked door in your heart. And you've got things that nobody else knows about that you can't deal with. And you yourself can't even get out. There's men in here that they will not open themselves up to people and they will not talk because they're hard and they want to be manly and men don't share and men do what they want to do. And the problem is you're going to sit there in your manness and you're going to be miserable in your manness because you won't let God open your doors. And I understand it. You shut your life behind a locked door for no other reason, but you don't know how to get out. Behind that locked door, there was fear. Behind that locked door, frustration. Behind that locked door was failure. Think about who's in there. Simon Peter. Simon Peter, just a few days before, I'm almost done. Simon Peter, just a few days before, said this. He said, "Lord, though all men forsake you, I won't. Lord, I'll go with you to the death." You hear what he said? "I'll die for you." Simon Peter thought he would die for the Lord, but he sure didn't have a problem with the Lord dying for him. Jesus looked at him and said, "Simon, die. You'll go all the way to death. You won't even make it out of this day without failing me three times." Man. And the third time, the Bible said, when he cussed and denied the Lord, then Jesus looked at him. Man, I can feel God's eyes on me when he turns his head and looks. I've been there. Can you imagine how much of a failure Simon Peter that same day said, "I won't fail you." And he did it three times. Listen. Listen. Behind those locked doors are your failure, and you can't get out. But I like what the Bible says. It says, they were there where the doors were shut. Then came Jesus. Amen. Then came Jesus. They couldn't get to him. They didn't even know where he was. So he came to where they were. They couldn't get out. When Jesus, and he did not knock on the door and ask to come in. He did not send them a text message and say, "I'm on my way." He didn't update his Facebook and say, "I'm going to go visit the boys." No, the Bible said that he just showed up. He didn't even walk through the door. He walked through the walls. See, you've got a God that you think that where you sit, he might not can get to where you are. But honey, if that tomb couldn't hold him in, then your locked doors ain't going to hold him out. God can get to you wherever you are. I'm done. I want to tell you a story, though. We counseled this girl back at home. She was a bartender. Her mom and daddy was in church. They were trying their best to get her some counseling. She was a bartender, and her job and her career became her lifestyle. She got one DUI, just laughed it off. She got two DUIs, just laughed it off. And that third one in South Carolina, I don't know how it is in North Carolina, but on that third one, you're done. They took her license, and they sentenced her to a court date. During that time, her mom and daddy brought her in and let us counsel her. I remember the first time I met her, she had her arms folded. She had on clothes, tight clothes, and she had on makeup everywhere, and she just a scowl on her face. It looked like death on her face. So miserable. I remember we tried to talk to her, and she just kept saying, "That's not me. I'm not that. I don't do that." See, she had been a part of the world so long that she thought that's all she could ever be. We got her around some of our stuff and around our activities, and we take her to church with us when I go preach or sing. And I remember one night we was all together in just a Bible study, and kids was telling testimony after testimony about how God saved them. And I remember looking over, and all that hardness began to break. I remember her wiping a tear. And from that day forward, God changed everything. One tear was all it took. It broke. I remember when she gave her life fully to God, surrendered to God, said, "God, I'll do whatever you want to," she was a completely different person. Katie, she didn't have a license, so me and Katie would take her everywhere she needed to go. And And I remember the day came for that court date. And we went in with her and we prayed for her and asked God to help her. That judge could have gave her a year, and he told her that. He said, young lady, I could give you a year, but I'm going to give you a week in jail. She said, and you've got a year before you can get your license back. She came back home. She's crying. The day came where she had to go to serve her term, a whole week. Could have got a year, but got a week. Thank God. But I remember that day, she said, Brother Brent, I'm so scared. I don't want to go in there. She said, I don't know what it's like. I've never had to do that before. She said, I'm scared to death. And I remember when she turned over her cell phone, and I thought to myself, there comes a day when you can have so much freedom in your life to do what you want to do that you're going to have to turn over all that freedom to somebody else. That's called consequence of sin. I remember she gave up her clothes and had to take on one of the government offered outfits. And I'll never forget it. She's crying the whole time. She walked through those iron gates, walked down that corridor, and that gate slammed behind her. By her own testimony, she tells it like this. She said, I walked down and they put me in a room. And I remember that door slamming. She said, I looked over here and there's people cussing. I looked over here, there's a girl that got sick that's puking. She said, I sat down right in the middle and just began to say, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. I don't want to be here. God, I don't want to be here. God, I don't want to be here. Just repetitively crying out, God, I don't want to be here. She was in there 5 minutes. And all of a sudden, that big door that she walked through into her prison opened up. And they looked at her, and they looked over here, and they looked over there. And the man in a nice dress suit said, young lady, I want you to come with me. She got up, and that same door that she had to walk into her prison, she got to walk out of in 5 minutes. I had been praying the whole time, God, don't let her go in there. Don't let her go in there. Show who you are, God. Show her that you are alive and you can do things for her. But God allowed her to go in there, and she walked down the corridor. She walked up to the front, and that man looked at her and said this. He said, young lady, he said, we've got to put somebody else in your place. We've run out of room. He said, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to mark it down that you spent the whole time you were supposed to, and we're going to completely eradicate everything and write it down as if you served your term, handed her clothes back, handed her phone back, and said, you're free to go. I don't ever want to see you here again. She ran outside. She called me on the phone, and she said this. She said, Brother Brent, I'm out. I'm out. I said, Eva, you're not supposed to break out on the first day. She said, I didn't break out. And she told me that story of it. I was driving down the road. I started clearing out ditches. And we hung up the phone with her. And I said, God, you're awesome. Thank you, Jesus. He said, I let her go in just long enough to let her know I'm the ticket to get her out. I'm here to tell you that Jesus is a God that when you get locked up in a situation, He is the key that will let you out. What a God that shows Himself not to the principality and not to the powers, but He shows Himself to the poor and brokenhearted. He shows Himself to those who need Him most. Amen. Stand with me, I'm done. What a God we serve. Y'all come on up. I know the hour's late. I want to ask a question. Is there anybody in here with every head bowed, every eye closed? And you'd say, Brother Brent, pray for me. I've got a situation right now that I need that God to show up in. Hands are already going up. Is that you? Just throw them up. I got a situation. Y'all are very quick to throw your hands up before I even asked. And it might be that God's speaking to you already. Why don't you just step out right where you're at and find yourself a place in this altar? Just say, God, help me in this situation. That's it. Come on.
Help me to plug into that power. That power that will get me through this. That power that will get me beyond this. That dynamite that will blow this situation wide open for the cause of Christ. Would you come? Maybe there's somebody in here this morning while these are praying. Maybe you'd say, "Preacher, pray for me. I've been miserable and I don't know why. I feel empty and I don't know why." Perhaps it is that you've never stopped long enough to invite a God like Him into your life. I know you know who Jesus is. But do you have who Jesus is? Do you possess the person of Jesus Christ in your life? Listen, if you have to go back so far that you can't remember, then this altar's the place for you. Maybe there's somebody in here this morning to say, "Preacher, I'm that one. I don't know that I have Jesus in my life. Would you pray for me? Don't call me out. Don't embarrass me. But would you pray for me?" I sure will. If that's you, just throw your hand up real quick and I'm going to pray for you. Pray for me, preacher. I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I'm saved. Throw it up real quick. Put it right back down. Thank you. I don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me, preacher. I sure will. Jesus, you know the hearts of your people. God, I ask that you would minister in ways that I can't. You'd take my feeble words. God, that was a feeble effort of preaching. Lord, I ask that you take the foolishness of it. God, you'd stir the hearts of somebody this week to plug into the power of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Sing something, my brother. Just sing what you're playing.
Just as
if you need the Lord, come on, talk to him. You need somebody to pray for you. Just come get me. Maybe you know somebody that's in a situation that they need somebody to go on their behalf. They can't get a hold of God. Maybe you just want to quietly slip out, find your place. Give it to Him. Just as I am, I come. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. Thank you for this church. God, for many years, this place has stood as a lighthouse. I ask that you'd bless the people indeed. God, I thank you that you made it easy to preach this morning. Lord, I know that the time is waning and it's getting short. I ask that as we go, that you would bless every person that has darkened that door. God, keep hell off of them. Give them peace. But most importantly, give them your person that they can walk and talk with every day. In Jesus' name we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. My brother, I'm finished. I'm done. Come on.